Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
Good morning. Go ahead and take your seat, church. It's great to have you here. Before I get into my message today, I want to say thank you to our team members that were not able to be here on Friday night. We consider anyone who serves here on our team. So thank you to our team, and thank you to those who were here. We're so grateful for you, but if you missed the Friday night Christmas banquet, it was actually part of divine providence because we were completely out of space. So there would have been not a lot of room for you here, but can we give a giant hand as a church to everyone who serves and volunteers here at the church? Thank you, guys. We had a guest, a surprise guest, show up. He looked a little bit like my wife. It's a weird statement. That's a weird statement, but here's the clip. It'll make more sense after you see Elvis Presley here. Yep. Yeah. Someone's going to take that clip off the live stream and be like, this pastor has lost his marbles. My wife, for the past 4 or 5 years, shows up as a surprise guest at our Christmas team dinners and does parody songs to just honor and thank our volunteers. So it's only fitting as Graceland that we finally did Elvis, all right? She actually ran into the crowd at one point. Check this out. She was running around. She was making me crack up. At this point, she was singing Hunka Hunka Serving Love. That was the number at that moment. And then she did all the poses. Check out this last photo. She really worked it. If you missed it, it was filmed, and we're going to post this on the church social or something like that, so you can check out or let us know. We're just going to do a highlight reel, I think, on social, so if you want the full, like, 18-minute performance, you can let us know, and we'll send you a link. It was a lot of fun. We're starting our Christmas series, our Advent series today. It's called A Child is Born. Like Heather mentioned earlier, Advent just means arrival, so it's the remembrance that we are celebrating the arrival of Jesus and remembering his first arrival when he was born over 2,000 years ago, but we're also looking with great anticipation to his second arrival, the return of Jesus. So I just want to put in your heart, even before I share this message, that the statement, a child is born, is like the prophetic, everlasting declaration of hope for the whole world and for your life. God has done something that can bring hope to you that will never change. And this child that was born is not just any child. There are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And these prophecies were hundreds of years before Jesus. The one we're going to look at today was written by the prophet Isaiah under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit over 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And they're also not just self-fulfilling prophecies. I'm sharing this for those of you who might be seekers or skeptical about these prophecies, but they were written by multiple authors under the inspiration of God, and they took hundreds of unrelated miracles to see their fulfillment. And we see all kinds of verifiable historical facts based on our human response and the decisions of nations at the time of the birth of Jesus. And then this messianic prophetic declaration endures through every generation despite countless attempts to erase it from history. And the context that this promise of the Messiah was given was one of turmoil. So when you feel like your life is in turmoil or our country or our world is in turmoil, we can always take heart as believers because the promise of the Messiah comes to just such a time. It was the 8th century BC. The world was dominated by the Assyrian Empire at the time. There was geopolitical tension. There were all kinds of shifts in powers. There was also spiritual crisis for the Israelites, the people of God. Israel and Judah were divided. Israel, the northern kingdom, was collapsing under Assyrian pressure, and Judah, the southern kingdom, was facing severe moral decay, idolatry, and threats from Assyria. And its kings were seeking alliances with Egypt instead of trusting God. So it was a mess out there. It was a chaotic era marked by war, injustice, and the constant struggle just for survival. And it was amidst that judgment and despair and fear came a prophecy about a Messiah that promised a future restoration and an everlasting kingdom, a promise that points to Jesus. And you're going to recognize this prophecy when I read it. It's out of Isaiah 9:6. Again, written over 700 years before the birth of Jesus. We just sang it a few minutes ago. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So starting today and over the next couple weeks in this Advent series, we're just going to look at that one verse and talk about all these attributes of God. And I want to start today by just looking at the first three words and how significant they are. For to us. In other words, there is a reason for that for to be there. There is a reason. God, the Creator, exists and he loves us, his creation. Because that's true, he says, for to us. Now, this is important to note. The promise of the Messiah was for them then, but it's also for you now. It's for all of us right here and right now, which is why I love the sentiment of that song we just introduced. I'm not just satisfied talking about the promise that was for then. I want it now for me. And that's your first principle. The promise of God was for then and for now. We have to keep this in mind. It's an everlasting promise. And we should take heart because of that, because we fail, we draw tired, we get exhausted, we sometimes don't fulfill our promises, but we serve one whose promise never fades. Who is happy about that with me today? It's amazing. It's amazing. And we don't want to let the Christmas season go by thinking we're just doing like presents and family time and like watching Home Alone and Elf. I'm all about that stuff. But really what it's about is remembering the promise of God that never fades and taking hold of it more than you ever have before. The Messiah, in case you don't know what that language means, this is number two in your notes, is the promised deliverer and the savior of the world. The people of Israel, the Jewish nation, was looking for a Messiah promised to them to be their deliverance. They didn't know, and no one else knew, that that Savior was also going to go expand beyond just the Jewish people and be the Savior of the Gentiles as well. We see that happen throughout the New Testament. The world still needs a Savior. Is there an amen out there? We have one. It is Jesus. And I love this concept in the third principle, and I hope it encourages you today. God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. This is the very first step when you're doing the 12 steps of recovery, and it's part of why I love recovery ministry. And I actually believe that every believer is in recovery ministry. What that means is we put our faith in Jesus and we're saved and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, but then we are growing up into that faith. In other words, recovering from the mess that was and being sanctified into the holiness of God. It's recovery ministry. And the first step is admitting that you are powerless to help yourself. First step. The biblical word for that, humility. Some people never get there. Some people live all of their days on earth convinced that they can help themselves be everything they're supposed to be. They never get humbled before the living God. And that is to their detriment because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So I want to invite you this morning, humble yourself before God and tell him, God, I need you to do for me what I am powerless to do for myself. And the good news is that that is his plan. That is the gospel. He steps right into our mess and declares his grace, declares his goodness. How many parents of young kids out there also get a house that can be kind of messy by show of hand? First of all, I see you. I'm with you. We have a special recovery group. It's tough out there. It's hard to keep a house tidy. And I mean, at Christmas, we already have boxes piling up. I'm like, we got to get rid of a third of our stuff before we bring all this new stuff in here. Like, this is insanity. The cycle just keeps going on. And sometimes I'll just walk around our house. And don't get me wrong. I'm so thankful for our house. I'm so thankful that we have an abundance of stuff. We have way too many toys. We have too many clothes. We have so much food. We have such an abundance, and it gets super messy. And sometimes we find food that's been discarded for like a month. And we're like, so who left this here? And then we're disciplining a child. And I'll walk around the house sometimes, and instead of letting myself be discouraged about the mess, I'll say, God, I'm thankful that your grace enters right into our mess. I'm thankful that this is your specialty. And I know I'm saying this kind of tongue-in-cheek. The more important mess that Jesus enters by his grace is your heart, your mind. If you feel like you've got like, monkey brain going on, which I get all the time. You just get, you're like knocked around to whatever thought kind of comes in, or your heart is filled with all kinds of things that you're like thinking, why is that still there? Why am I feeling this? You're in good condition because you are still a mess that Jesus enters into. It's called the incarnation. I love this concept. It's number 4, and we're looking at the next part of the verse. For to us a child is born. Jesus, the King of Kings, arrives in the most fragile and vulnerable way possible, a newborn baby. I would not have written the script that way. I remember being a kid and kind of wrestling with whether I believed in God or not, which is a perfectly fine thing to do to all my young people or anybody in here. If you're not sure where you land, wrestle with God about it. Talk to God about it. And I would say to God as a kid, God, why don't you just take over all the TVs in the world and tell everybody you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I was just kind of telling him, God, I got notes for your PR plan. Like, I got some ideas. Have you thought about this? I was 6, but I'm like, have you thought about this? Have you thought about just showing up in power, riding on a cloud right now so the whole world can see you? I'm sure the kids now with cell phones are like, all we need is one cell phone to video this. Of course, now with AI, everyone's gonna be like, it's just AI. But nonetheless, how many have been like me and thought of ways you could improve on the plan of God? I have, lots of times. This was the plan. How wildly unexpected and still shocking is it that the King of Kings, Savior of the world, chose to step off his throne and come into the world the same way we do? As a little baby that could be crushed by anybody. Nothing more vulnerable, yet also nothing more hopeful. And not just that, to a teenage mom who was a virgin. Therefore, under all this scrutiny, because they're not married yet and they're having a baby and they said it was an angel, but they also had to flee their hometown to go back so Jesus could be born in Bethlehem because of the census. I mean, it was not an ideal situation. And in the middle of the mess, just like our houses and our hearts and our minds, comes the word, the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's also prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That was written over 700 years before the birth of Jesus from the Virgin Mary. Prophecy. It reminds us, number 5 in your notes, God's ways are different than our ways. He never did take my note on using television to let everybody know that he was God. He's never done it through cell phones. He's never done it by just riding on a cloud. And who knows what his return is going to look like? I have no idea. But what I've come to know is that his ways are perfect. And his standards of greatness are different than mine. And that includes for my own life. If you're here and you are worried that your life maybe isn't as great as you thought it would be, maybe it's not all you hoped it could turn out to become. Maybe you've had some devastation recently this year. Maybe 2025 was absolutely brutal for you. Well, I've got really good news for you. You can still trust the God whose ways are higher than yours, and he has a different standard of greatness for your life than you do. And that's actually good news. I'm to the place in my life with God where I genuinely tell him every day, God, I want what you have for me, not my own ideas for me. Because they're not always the same. I just got to teach a class yesterday for some new pastors that are getting ordained. It's on a pastoral ministry, and we were sharing some testimonies. And there was one dad in the group that had, I think, 5 kids, and he was sharing this testimony of when they were little. They're out in the country of Tennessee somewhere, and they were living in, I think he said, an 800-square-foot trailer. And he just felt like an utter failure as a dad. They did not have enough space. I mean, I guess he had five kids in one room, or maybe they were split and sharing the bed with him and his wife, or I don't know. But he was down on himself, felt like he wasn't living up to the standards of greatness that he hoped his life would be. And so he prayed to God every day, God, give us a better house, or give me a better job where I can make more money and at least take care of this family. And he would just cry out, and nothing in his life was changing. And one day he said he felt like God confronted him in his time of prayer and that he needed to change the way he prayed. And he said, rather than praying, God, give me what I think I want to be great, he changed his prayer to, God, do whatever you want to do in my family to get us wherever you want us to be. See the difference? One is a prayer saying, I know what's best. Another is a prayer of surrender saying, God knows what's best. And not only did peace come in his heart when he began to pray that way, because he surrendered. He let go of even the situation that he was disappointed in. And he said, God, I'm going to trust you with this now. Get us wherever you need to get us. And his testimony was that God gave him peace and then also provided for them everything they needed for the rest of his life. Praise the Lord. God's standards of greatness are different than yours. This is why the commercialism of our time and the comparison through social media and all the things we need to be and do at Christmas time, or all the things we need to kind of amass around ourselves to feel like we have enough comfort and peace, are lies from hell. They're meant to build discontent in you and make you think you are not stepping into what God has for you and distract you from God's actual call and purpose on your life. It makes me angry at the stupid devil. Makes me angry about how he uses lies to literally embed in our hearts. I think almost every believer I know in the West feels like they don't have enough when we're living in the greatest abundance that has ever existed in all of time. What kind of deception are we in? It's crazy. So I want to invite you this morning to do what that dad did and change your prayers. Rather than praying this Christmas, God, please give me everything I think I want and need, change it to, God, I surrender all of this to you. Thank you for all the good gifts in my life. Do whatever you want to do in my life. You're going to find peace that way. It's an invitation to let his peace invade, and it's a surrender to jump into God's river and let him begin to lead your life. His ways are different. The text goes on to say, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. How many know there's no perfect political solution? Can I get an amen? Other than King Jesus. And that is political, by the way. The kingdom of heaven takes over our politics and calls us to something greater and an allegiance to the one true perfect king. That's why I don't give a rip about all your ideas politically. I want to clarify that statement. Politics matters. We should engage in it. We have a role to play. We should contend for the truth of God's word as much as possible in the man-made system of politics that we have now. That being said, I don't give a rip about that when I'm working with anyone or trying to lead anyone to Christ or trying to share the gospel, because my allegiance is to a higher king and a perfect government called King Jesus and the kingdom of God. That's all I'm caring about. That's what we are inviting people into as the church, period. And you can understand why the people of Israel were looking for a conquering king to mostly just deliver them from Assyrian dominance or Roman dominance or whatever it happened to be at the time, because Israel was an oppressed people and they were looking for deliverance, but God was more interested in delivering them spiritually. He was more interested in actually setting them free. Number six, the Messiah ushers in a new kingdom and rules with perfect love and perfect justice. Aren't we thankful for a perfect king? I had a friend tell me once, Jesus was never disillusioned because he was never under any illusions. If you feel disillusioned with what's happening in your world, in your life, it means you're just under illusions. If your faith is only in King Jesus and he is the solid rock upon which you let your life fall on, you will never be disillusioned because you're not putting your faith on an illusion, but on the one solid rock and the one true king. And then Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, defeated sin and death, and calls us to follow him now as kingdom builders ourselves. We're invited into the story. Jesus fulfills the prophecies and invites us into his kingdom. How awesome is it that you get to be called by name by the king into his kingdom? I don't want to make light of when we wrestle with our purpose, because I've been there myself. We wrestle with what our lives are about. Is there anything more significant than being called by name by the King into the kingdom that will last forever? Imagine how you would feel if Trump called you up tomorrow as the president of America and said, hey, I've been checking out your story. I've been reading all, I checked up on your social media. Man, you've really got something that we need in America. I'm calling you into this special task force. It's only for the elites. Come be a part of it. Your mind would be blown. You would be like, oh my goodness, I have a new purpose now that is just unbelievable. And that's wonderful. Pales in comparison to being called by name by Jesus. Not even close. Totally different scenario. Yet we like kick rocks around like, I have no purpose in my life. We're like, well, God doesn't care about me. And I don't know why I'm coming across as harsh this morning, but I'm just feeling it. Is anybody feeling it with me? And I don't want like the hijacking of the sea. I don't want to see you just enjoy 20 Christmas movies and miss deepening in your walk with the King. I don't want to see you just stuff your face with food and give and open a gazillion presents and miss what it is to partner as a kingdom builder with the King of the Kingdom. I don't want to see you miss that. We are meant to grow in it more, deeper in our walk. I want to ask you a couple questions to close us out, and we're going to go into a time of prayer, and I'm going to share about our miracle offering, which we're taking today and next week. I want to invite you to know and follow Jesus today. Even if you've walked with him for a long time, I want to invite you to make a fresh commitment to know and follow Jesus with a complete surrender all of your life. There's no half-hearted surrender. It's either all surrender or no surrender. We tend to compartmentalize our walk with God. I want to invite you to get rid of all compartments in your mind and in your heart and say, God, I'm yours. Jesus, I need you. And then I want to invite you to ask this question. What does it look like for me to be a kingdom builder with what God has placed in my hands? That's everything, your time, your talent, your treasure, all of your thinking, all of your doing, all of your working. Sometimes in church, when it comes to finances, we talk about tithing, and we should, and that's a good thing, but it actually really misses the mark, because the call is that everything you have belongs to God. That's the call. That's the call in my life. That's the Jesus that I know and serve and follow. The call is actually that your work, your career is not your career. It's your work under the Lord, under allegiance to the King. We get so individualized in our thinking. It's the mindset of the individualism of the West, and we were all raised in that. We've been discipled into thinking we have our own little world. We're the CEO of our own life. No, you've laid down your rights. There's one CEO of your life. That's Jesus. You have a new allegiance. So it's not actually a harsh message. It's an inviting message. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And if you've slipped into thinking that you're just running your own life, I invite you to repent, because God invites you into a greater vision called the kingdom of heaven. That's the life I want to live. Anybody with me? I'm like, why am I wasting time here? We know that all the things that we think are going to satisfy us in the world, that peace doesn't last. That kind of happiness doesn't last. The abundance doesn't actually fulfill your soul. You know what the Bible says? Satisfies you hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of God. They will be satisfied. You'll find no other satisfaction in your life. No Christmas season will cut it. No Easter season will cut it. No new promotion will cut it. No new relationship will cut it. It's one call here, a full surrender to Jesus. And again, I don't know why it's come over to be such a bold call today. I just have to think it's what the Holy Spirit is doing in this moment right now, because I wasn't like this in first service at all. It was just a different service. So I just think our prayer right now is, God, we're not satisfied, like we just sang, with yesterday's fire. We're not satisfied with yesterday's oil. What we're saying there when we sing that is Jesus is the anointed one, and when we follow King Jesus, we come under and walk with his anointing. But we're not meant to just hold on to what happened in our life 10 years ago. We're meant to have a fresh encounter with God today. We are serving him now. Who here would like to serve Jesus now and not just in your memory? Now. The work is now. The time is now. We're the ones that God has called. So I want to take you through a few things on how we can do that financially as a church. I'm going to show you a couple videos. But take this packet in your hand real quick. I want to read it with you. And then you can also read it on your phone if you'd like. Scan that QR code. All of this same content is on our website. But just read this with me prayerfully. The ask is, we're not trying to, you know, coerce anybody to do anything or add any pressure. What I will boldly ask you to do is pray and ask God what he's calling you to do. So read this with me At Graceland Church, we are people of God's word, driven by God's presence, maturing as disciples of Jesus and building God's kingdom. Every year, we have the mandate and the opportunity to give towards the purposes of God in our church, in our community, and around the world. We do this through Kingdom Builders. The miracle offering funds our Kingdom Builders initiatives. We are a land of grace for the good of the world, and that starts with each of us as individuals and families. We are asking you to pray about how God is calling you to be a part of this miracle offering. We believe God wants to expand your vision and faith for his kingdom, all while taking care of all your needs. Go ahead and open up to the top left. The miracle offering, formerly our Christmas offering, is going towards these three Kingdom Builders initiatives. Number one, our local fund. With last year's offering, we were able to care for widows and orphans, rescue those trapped in addictions, and provide generously to many facing the hardest moments of their lives in our church and community. Thank you for allowing us to do that. Our local fund enables us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our city, provide tangibly to meet basic needs, support young missionaries on our college campuses through Chi Alpha, and offer support for disaster relief. It also helps us provide discipleship for mothers through Mom Life, respond to unexpected needs with our facility, like paving our driveway and expanding our parking lot this year, and support church planning around our nation through Church Multiplication Network. Number two, our Global Fund. And actually, before I read this, just a note on Local Fund. You'll see, based on what I just read, the Miracle Offering and Kingdom Builders involves mostly projects that are extensions of our church, but it also involves projects that are literally our own church family and building what God has called us to do here. Number two, the Global Fund. God is a missionary God. He loves the world, and he sent Jesus to seek and save the lost. That's the only reason we know him today. If you aren't personally going to the nations as a missionary, you're called to help send them. Part of our miracle offering is sending over 30 missionaries on God-ordained strategic assignments all around the world. They are loving people in Jesus' name, meeting profound needs, clean water, food, shelter, training, disaster relief, sharing the gospel with those who have never heard it, making disciples, and planting churches. We do this through our trusted partners in the Assemblies of God World Missions and Convoy of Hope. The more we give to Kingdom Builders through this miracle offering, the more we can do. Every dollar actually helps transform a life. Number three, our Future Fund. We are a land of grace for the good of the world, and we aspire to grow into that vision more every year. We have been working hard to develop our land, prepare for our new building, and expand our ministry capacity to kids, youth, and adults as an outpost of God's kingdom that will reach people for generations to come. I'm going to pause there because you might not know that because of the shoulders that we stand on here at Graceland Church, and some of you guys were part of this journey, our church owns 135 acres right here in this area. It's the corner of 65 and 840, and it connects to the property that we're on. So it's highly valuable land, and God has called us to build an outpost of his kingdom on that land that will, Lord willing, last until the return of Jesus. And we call it a land of grace for the good of the world. So part of our future fund is the strategic process. You can read it right here. Each year, this offering helps us strategically move forward in this vision. This year, it will also help us partner with the Tennessee Ministry Network to revitalize the Jackson Conference Center, where our students, along with thousands of others, go to camp every summer. We are shaping the future by raising up a Jesus generation, and they are hungry for revival and spiritual awakening like never before. Let's do our part to make the way. Our goal that we set at the beginning of this year for 2025 is $200,000. I'm happy to report, by God's grace, we've already given $65,725 even before this offering. So our remaining goal is $134,275. Our trust is in the Lord, and he will provide all we need to do all he has called us to do. This goes for you personally as well. As you seek his kingdom first, he will care for all your needs. Few frequently asked questions on the back. When can I give? The miracle offering will be on Sunday, December 7th, that's today, and Sunday, December 14th, next week. If you miss those days or can't give at those times, you can give towards the offering anytime between now and January 11th. How do I give? Write miracle offering on your check or giving envelope. There's envelopes in the back of the seats. In the drop-down menu, when you give online, you can select Miracle Offering, which is where most of our church gives. If giving online, especially a large amount, you can select Bank Account at the bottom and give via check using your routing and accounting numbers. It minimizes the online giving fee. Number three, will I receive Giving credit for taxes, yes. If you want credit for 2025, your giving must be given before December 31st. For any of you guys that follow that, because of how things have changed, that actually doesn't benefit us as much as it used to, but we want to let you know that that's available. Number four, should I detract from my regular giving for this offering? No. We rely on your consistent tithe, for those that are members here, to keep our church alive. That's how we do all the ministry we do. So if someone that is giving regularly takes their December giving and just gives it to the miracle offering, it actually doesn't help us that much because it detracts from our general operational budget. So the Kingdom Builders offering is above our tithe. Number five, can I learn more details about our Kingdom Builders partners? Yes. Visit gracelandchurch.com/KB. Or you can just click at the button on the home screen or get the prayer guide in our foyer. Please be praying for all these missionaries and ministries. And I do want to say from my heart to yours ahead of time, thank you in advance for your prayerful consideration. It's before God, not before me, not before our church, before God. Thank you for your prayerful consideration and obedience to the Lord and how he is leading you. We could not do what God has called us to do apart from your generosity and faithfulness. Last year for the miracle offering, we called it a Christmas offering. It was amazing because we share a video online. We kind of get the word out. And just my cul-de-sac in the neighborhood I live, there's one family right there that's part of our church. They're here today. And then there's a couple of others that have been to the church. And then there's a few others that we're just friends with, some that aren't even believers that saw our video. And then there's a brand new neighbor that was here in first service. And last year, this is just a testimony of God's grace, just our little area right there, I actually had the number wrong in first service. I re-added it up, gave $17,000 to this offering. Isn't that amazing? Just that circle right there. And I was amazed by it. I mean, people that are not part of a church, people that we just know because they're neighbors. So another story, when I, I'm gonna hold that story for 1 second. Let me show you two videos here. The first one is the Camp Jackson Conference Center. It's just about a minute long. I want you to see it. I want you to hear from one of our network leaders. This is what we're a part of.
More than 50 years, the Jackson Conference Center has been sacred ground. A place where students encounter Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, where pastors, missionaries, and church planners have all heard God's call, where lives have been transformed forever. But today, this legacy property is at a turning point. You see, we've begged, bartered, just to keep it functional. Yet the truth is clear. We have deferred maintenance for years. Our cabins and dorms are outdated. We don't even have a storm shelter for our students. And still, every summer, lives are changed here. That tells us something. It tells us the soil of this place is fertile. The vision is still alive. Now is the moment to be all in. We are stepping into a 10 to 15 year master plan, design, engineering, architects, a new worship center, renovated cabins and dorms, dream with me, community areas redesigned for discipleship, an Olympic-sized pool, soccer fields, shade-covered playgrounds, all built to serve this generation and the next. This is not just construction. It's kingdom investment. It's legacy. Our fellowship has just celebrated 100 years of councils. As we step into our 101st, we know the future depends on what we steward today. We must do better. We must be faithful together. We can ensure this 85-acre property remains the soil where future leaders are trained, missionaries are sent, and generations encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our legacy move. Let's pray. Let's partner. Let's invest, because the future is upon us. We are all in, and the time is now.
Come on, can we give thanks for what he's doing at Jackson Conference Center? Don't use those QR codes, because we're going to filter it through our Kingdom Builders. I get to sit on the board that oversees that, and we're stewarding well what God has placed in our hands. It's about 90 acres up in Goodlettsville, just north of Nashville. Changes our students' lives. It's going to continue to do work. If we can raise our full 200, 10 of it goes to that project this year, and we'll give more next year as well. I want to show you another video. If you're watching online, we're going to pause the live stream for a second, so we'll come back to you in about 3 or 4 minutes. Go ahead and pause that. Let me know when it's done in the back. Let's go ahead and restart that because I won't use their name again. But they're just one of over 30 strategic partners. And they mentioned the language live dead missionaries. I want to share what that is. It's one of the Assemblies of God arms of missions work that goes into unreached areas where there's no access to the gospel, usually where it's illegal to be a Christian. And I just want to remind us, we are highly saturated with the gospel here in Tennessee and here in America. And I'm so very thankful for that. But there are people around the world that are desperate for the power of Jesus in their life and the purpose for which they were born, that are surrounded by things that are empty promises from the enemy, that are desperate for their purpose. We hold the message, and God has called us to share it with the world. And God has called us to, while we do that, meet needs. That's why we do things like serve, feed the kids, do clean water, build facilities, all kinds of stuff. And about 15 years ago, a young couple came to the Africa director of the Assemblies of God. At that time, his name was Greg Beggs. He's become a good friend of mine. And they said, we feel called to go to Somalia. We'd like to become Assemblies of God missionaries. And Greg and the team said, no, because you're going to get killed right away in Somalia. It's a war-torn country. It's illegal to be a believer. We're not sending you and your newborn child to Somalia. And Greg tells the story that later that week he was praying, and God really confronted him in his prayers and said to him, hey, since when do we not go to the hard places? And since when can you tell someone that I'm calling that they can't go? And so they prayerfully developed a new arm of the Assemblies of God called Live Dead Missions. And it's about going to the areas where you're likely to get martyred. And I know dozens of missionaries all over the world that have said yes to the call of God, that are from America, that are just like you and me, that had the full option of just raising their kids here, but God arrested their heart, and they said yes to it, and they've literally raised their families in areas where they could be killed at any moment. And when I was in East Africa, in Tanzania, 15 years ago, we were newly church planters in LA, and one of my mentors was part of the original Live Dead team, and he invited me to go. I was the youngest pastor there. I was like 26 years old. The rest of them were in their 40s and 50s and had larger churches. And the 10 of us were praying about becoming primary partners, that's what they called it, for key strategic areas that had no access to the gospel. And they had me there just to learn and grow and be mentored. But when they started talking about Somalia, I really felt like God put on my heart, we should become a primary partner for Somalia, which was a $50,000 commitment for our church that was only a couple months old in Los Angeles. I was working a full-time job as a music teacher. I was trying to raise money to keep this little church afloat. And we just felt like God called us to make a $50,000 commitment, bigger than our annual budget. You know what I mean? And like, who knows where that money's going to come? And I share the story to say, when you get a kingdom vision, everything that is in our life and the way that God leads and guides us becomes nonsensical. It's not based on human logic or wisdom. And so the guys in the group that I was with said, hey, Nathan, are you sure you don't need to like try to act strong and do, because they were all becoming a primary partner of a nation. And I said, I really feel like we're supposed to do it. And they said, all right. And they let me do it. And before I even got back to California, somehow word had gotten around and someone gave me $25,000 for it, half of it right away. Within a couple days, when I got back to California and shared with our, imagine me, I just get up in front of like 30, 40 of us, and we're all kids, we're all in our 20s, and I'm like, hey guys, welcome to, we were called Clarity, welcome to Clarity. We're so thankful for what God's doing here. We have to raise $50,000 for Somalia. God told us to do it. We're gonna go in and share the gospel with this family. And then I was able to say, we already got 25. And then there was a newish family there that day who ended up becoming some of our best friends, Sean and Erica Bell. And their oldest daughter is the same age as our two oldest daughters. And they were just their first ever besties. Nila Bell is the oldest girl's name. And the next day I was walking with Sean. They might even be watching. We love you guys if you're watching. They're still in LA. We were taking our girls home from kindergarten. And Sean was like, hey, tell me more about this missions project and tithing, and tell me just what scripture says about that. So I just shared with him. At the time, I knew what his job was. He was the art director for a little game called Call of Duty. Have you guys heard of that? That was his job. And we were in Santa Monica. A lot of the video games have their hubs there. And so he was one of the top dogs for that game and heard this vision, heard the heart, and he, along with just a couple other people, paid the rest of that $25,000 in a short amount of time. And then more than that, he became the, him and his wife, Erica, became the longest standing and most consistent givers in our church, many hundreds of thousands of dollars towards building the church in LA and all around the world. They still give to these offerings. He's probably going to give to this offering. When we felt called to come to Nashville to plant and leave that church with tears, because they were some of our dearest friends in the world, hugging with tears, them saying, why do you have to go? And we were broke. We were making the decision by faith. We had clay on the way, three daughters, handed me a check for $20,000 to be our moving expenses and our initial, you know, put a deposit down type money. I say all that to say, potentially, none of that happens if I don't just say yes and I'm amen to God's prompting for a $50,000 commitment when I do not have $50,000. You see? There is something about being the flow of the river of God that does not make sense to our logic. And I believe not me, but God wants you to enter the story of God in the world in a more powerful way. Part of it is finances. It's not just finances. $200,000 to the living God, nothing. To me, this is like, oh my gosh, are we really saying this? Are we really trying to do this? This seems insane. To God, this is nothing. And I'll tell you what I know. Money is not a problem to God, but he also knows that if he releases money into the hands of believers that are going to idolize that money and cling to it like it's all their own, it's actually for their sake that he can't entrust them with more. Same with churches. So we are meant, that's why I love my friend Darren Tyler across the street at Conduit. I love their church name. I love our church name too. But we are meant to be a conduit for the blessing of God, not a stop for the blessing of God. And they're a big missions church as well. So I wanted to share all that to hopefully build your faith. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And as we sing this song that we just taught you this morning, I invite you to stay seated at first and just pray. In fact, you can close your eyes with me now as they come. After this, we'll close out the service. But the invitation is for you to pray, not just about this offering, but also about the message that I shared before this. Are you walking in the promise of the Messiah? The promise is for you now. Have you answered the call of the King who looks you face to face and says, hey, follow me. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's the invitation. And if you have allegiances greater than the kingdom of God, you need to repent. If you still think you're the CEO of your own life, you're called to repent. If you still think all the stuff that God has entrusted with you is yours, you're called to repent and say, God, this is all yours. If you are looking for the purpose for your life and are still thinking it's totally based on your career, the invitation is to repent. Whatever your career ends up being, it's going to be a part of the kingdom, which is your actual call and purpose. That's the shift. So Lord, help us with this. And as we pray this simple prayer, fresh fire, fresh oil, help us to understand that we're simply saying we want to encounter you and we want to live afresh and in the miraculous today. And church, with your eyes closed, I want to tell you another thing about my own heart for my family and my marriage. We shared last week on the gratitude panel of how we're called to have gratitude by faith. And Jessica shared a story of miraculous provision that we experienced early in our marriage. And then right after that Sunday, on Monday and Tuesday, we had a couple of financial blows that we did not see coming. And we were laughing a little bit just to stop from crying. But we were also laughing just to say, wow, of course, right after we make the public declaration, gratitude by faith, and share the story of God's faithfulness, of course, God's going to give us an opportunity to actually give gratitude by faith again when we don't know where funding for some things are going to come from, when we don't know how insurance stuff is all going to work out, when we're unsure about things like, and this is not for us because we're not changing jobs, but job situations, or when the foundation we think we're standing on starts to crack, when relationships that were supposed to be in place start to crumble, when all these things happen, we are given the opportunity to trust God by faith. And here's the key, guys, invite the miraculous into our life. That's why I love calling this a miracle offering. I want the miraculous in my financial life, not just me earning a paycheck. I want to be in the kingdom and be flowing in the miraculous work of God. I need the miraculous in my kids' lives. I need the miraculous in my marriage. Anybody with me out there? This is God's heart for us. The challenge is it's by faith. To step in the miraculous, you're going to get challenged. You're going to have to take a step out of the boat onto the water like Peter. You cannot abandon yourself to the river of God if you will not get out of the boat. And sometimes our sense of self-reliance is how we stay in the boat. Sometimes it is financial. God might want you, and I'm not saying this to be self-serving to this offering. I'm saying it because it's true. God might want you to give 10 times more than you were thinking about giving. God might want you to release something as a seed in your life, meaning God gave it to you to be invested into the kingdom as the process of you learning to build the muscle of generosity and trust and faith in God. Remember what he said to the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler said, Jesus, tell me what I must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus knew what his idol was, so he said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad because he had great wealth. So I don't know what that is for you, but you're invited into the kingdom, but you have to take a step of faith. So help us with this, Lord. I pray you'll speak to every heart in the room, strengthen them, encourage them as we take a few minutes just in your presence, unrushed, unhurried, to worship and to receive.